My dear family in Christ, Christ Jesus crucified for you and me as shown by his wounds that'll last forever, having taken away our own. Scars. What do you think of when I say scars? Probably not anything very good. Maybe you can think about the scars that you have on your own body, and they all probably have a message or a story. And if you could, you would get rid of those scars. You'd get rid of them and probably get rid of the story too. But tonight, we're going to take a look at scars as we focus on Jesus in the altar, as we listen again to a silent sermon from the sanctuary. And scars are going to convey the message of God's love and grace and healing. Scars are going to assure us of that healing, which is maybe surprising. But that's the way it so often works with the message of Jesus. Jesus comes and flip-flops everything. His message comes from people you wouldn't expect, from places you wouldn't expect, and it flips the world upside down. And so tonight, as we listen very carefully to a silent sermon from our sanctuary, we hear scars tell us of healing. Now, before I get into how crazy this is, I want to kind of demonstrate with a few illustrations about how scars wouldn't be expected to give us a message of healing. And I'm going to do it by changing the theme a little bit. We've been talking about silent sermons from the sanctuary, and I want to go with that that analogous alliteration, but I'm going to switch it a little bit. I'm going to switch it to decibel-less deliveries from the driveway. Instead of scars, I want you to think of something similar and think about the dents that you have in your car or cars. Right now, I know if you're watching on Facebook Live, I want you can participate and you can count how many dents you have in your vehicle. Add them up and put on there, I wonder who's going to have the most. I might have a little competition here because I have a whole fleet of cars because I have a large family. And pictured for you is my Honda Odyssey 2000 minivan. And the dents give me a decibel-less delivery from that driveway. They tell a story. That first dent. We bought the car dentless in 2015 so my son Luke could drive back and forth to high school with his younger siblings. And my father-in-law, Kurt Grunewald, was giving him a driver's lesson and wanted him to go through the North Shore Bank drive-through. He wanted to show him how to do it, and he had got to turn kind of tight. And the way my son Luke tells it is that he told his grandfather that he wasn't going to make it, but Kurt said, you're going to make it. And they went right up against a concrete barrier and scraped it around. And so every time I see that nice white part and that curved-in part of the door, that tells me a story, not too good of a one. But right behind it, just a couple months later, my daughter was driving to Fresh Time. And she went into the underground parking. She worked there. She went down there. But she turned it a little tight, but didn't dent it in the same spot, but moved it a little back and dented it around where you put the gas. And you can see a few dents there. And there's a little rust forming where some damage was done. But that's not the only two dents. My son Jonathan was called to work at Pick and Save. Didn't normally drive the van, and he quickly jumped in and had to back it out of our garage, and he didn't quite make it all the way out. He just grabbed the bumper, and he had to go back and forth and really dislodge it, so we had to put in some rivets, and you can see the scraping there, and that is a decibel-less delivery from the driveway. It tells me a story that I wish I could erase as well. That's not the only one. As I was taking the pictures, going around with my camera, I noticed these big, long black lines along the side of the van. And that's a story yet untold. I still have not heard the story. No one has come forward. Maybe after they're watching, maybe somebody feels guilty watching at my house tonight saying, I never told Dad about that. But that's a silent story too, that happened somewhere along the line. Now you might think I'm picking on my children a little bit with these decibel-less deliveries from the driveway. So I wanted to tell you about my story. I think I'm a good driver. This is not the van. This is the Ford Focus, and I went right through a red light on 7th and Locust. Just went right through it. I saw the green light, the next green light, and I was confident it must work for that one too. I went right through and got T-boned several years back. If I wouldn't have replaced the door, it would look much worse. But I, too, have that store. It reminds me to watch the lights very carefully and never be distracted at all, because anything can happen. And every time I look at that in the slightly tipped wheel, it tells me a story. And none of them are good. I really would want to get rid of all of them. See, scars and dents don't normally tell you good stories. I do have one good dent story, though. Just one. It's real recent. My oldest son got the newest car in the Steinberg fleet, a 2013 Volkswagen Jetta. And he parked it in front of our house one night. It was March 16th, heading into the 17th. At 2:10 in the morning, my wife woke up because she heard this sound. It was a pickup truck that smashed right into my son's parked car. And the driver got away, and here's the dent. That's a dent. Now, you'd think that would be another bad story. The car was total, but my son had just bought it. We had full insurance on it. And we got a really good deal on the car, so much that when we got the value, even after the deductible and paying all the expenses and even paying for all the registrations and everything, my son actually pocketed $1,400. That's the only good dent story I could come up with where he made a profit in just a couple weeks. Pretty good at the time. But now I'm going to go from these decibelless deliveries from the driveway, and I want to think something closer to our message with Jesus and his scars. I want you to think about muted messages from the mirror. When you look at yourself, do you see some of your own scars? Right here, I happen to have a scar that tells a story. I opened a ravioli can feeding my family, and I opened it a little too quickly. I had to literally physically run to the hospital because there was so much blood. And every time I see that, I remember, don't be in a hurry when you open cans. But I did take a picture of a scar that I have. It's right on my thumb, on my left thumb, and it still tells me a story and teaches me something, but I'd gladly get rid of it. I think I was about 14, and my dad had me using an old-fashioned bicycle tire pump to inflate a car tire. And I was doing it, and I was not happy with doing it, and I started to go faster and faster until I broke the whole thing, and my thumb slammed down, and I went all the way to the bone, and I made this scar that still speaks to me today. Not a good story. Now, I don't know how many scars you have. Again, you can post on Facebook how many scars you have. No pictures, please, but if you want to post the number, you can do that. They probably all have a story, but are any of them a positive one? Maybe you have a scar if you're a mom. Maybe you have some stretch marks, or you have a C-section scar that you think it was worth it. But I think every mom, including my wife, is someone who would gladly get rid of that as long as you got to keep the kid. It tells the story, but you wouldn't keep it. Are there any good scar stories? There's only one I could find, and that was one involving this man. This is my Uncle Stuart, who's now in heaven, and he and my mom tell the story of how a scar sent a strong message. He was heading into the Navy, as you can see, and my mom had just opened a big can of fruit salad. And he came around her, and she was like 16, and he was 17 and a half, and he was picking with a toothpick at all the cherries out of the fruit salad. My mom didn't like that. He was going around, and he was persisting, and so she pushed him away. But she still had in her hand the lid for that can that she had just cut open, and she sliced his face with this round blade of a can cover, and it went in deep, and it was terrible and awful and took a long time to heal. It was right after this picture was shot, he was getting ready. He went to the Navy, and for a long time he didn't like that scar, but he came back and told my mom that he appreciated it. Because when he was in a foreign port, some guys came up to him and they were going to grab him and fight him, but they turned him around. They saw him, kind of a decent sized guy with some big knuckles, but they took one look at that big scar and they let him be. He looked like he had been in a knife fight. He didn't tell him he had been in a fruit salad fight with his sister, but they saw it, and that kept him from being hurt. So he told my mom, thank you for the wound, because that wound stopped me from being wounded. And that's what brings us back to our silent sermon from the sanctuary, because we're talking about wounds that tell us that we are going to have all our wounds taken away. that for all the wounds we have on the outside, inside, they'll all be taken away. And that's a silent sermon from the sanctuary that the people who put this church together and brought in this altar from St. Jacoby thought must be right in the center. You can't miss Jesus. He's right in the middle. And if you take some closer pictures, you can see some things you might not see from the back. So I took a couple pictures. But before I get to that, I want you to hear God's word that talks about this section, what Jesus went through where he was wounded. Luke 23. When they came to the place called the skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. That's where Jesus was wounded. That's where soldiers put the wound in his hand. And that's what is still on the picture that we see of Jesus. Now, we know when Jesus went and appeared to his disciples on that first Easter, he still had his wounds. You'd think with a perfect glorified body, they might be gone. But for Jesus, this was the perfect body because this was his honor. This was a scar that he wanted to remember, a scar that had a message he could show his disciples. He could show them it was really him, really risen from the dead, really someone who suffered and was wounded, so he kept them. Pointed to his wound in one hand, and you can see his wound in that statue on the other hand, and you can see it in his feet. A little harder to see, so I had to take this picture for you. You can see the disciples there. This is a picture during Ascension, where he's just commissioned them to be his witnesses, and they're still confused about how God's kingdom all worked. But he was this silent rising sermon on that Ascension day. Jesus has a wound in his side that he invited Thomas to touch. And as I was taking these pictures and looking at how this artist wanted to make sure we knew that Jesus had been wounded for us, and this was his glory, I looked at Jesus' face. And I thought to myself, it doesn't say it in the Bible that he had those wounds, but what about the wounds on his head? What about the wounds on his back? Are those also part of his glory? But he's keeping them. He's keeping all those wounds as a message to you and me that he is proud of being wounded for you and me. For we hear what happened to Jesus, and we focus on that during this Lenten season, but it was 700 years before Jesus was born that Isaiah tells us the significance of Jesus' wounds and how it pays off for us and how it's a message for us. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." By his wounds, we are healed. These wounds we see in Jesus are, it's a gospel message. It's a message of healing. And when we see Jesus in this statue and see him with his wounds, it's to remind us of a lot of things. We see him on Ascension. Really, this statue is up all year long for all the seasons. So on Easter, this is a reminder he has risen from the dead. At Ascension, it's a reminder he's gone up into heaven. He's getting a place ready for us. But during the season of Lent, it screams another message, that Jesus was wounded on purpose for us, and he's proud of those wounds. He doesn't want to get rid of the story. He wants to keep it forever and in eternity. When we see him next, when we give him that big hug, we won't need any social distancing in heaven. When we give him that big hug, he's going to have those same wounds. But guess what? Every scar, every wound that I have in my body, both on the outside and on the inside, will be completely gone. The only wounds left are Jesus' wounds. Glorious ones that for all eternity will give this silent sermon of Jesus' depth of love for us. Just like my Uncle Stuart said, that wound that people saw kept him from being wounded, the wounds we see in Jesus keep us from being wounded. And that's why we rejoice. That's why during Lent we want to focus on those wounds, not to cry and be sad for Jesus, but to see the depth of his love for us. He did this on purpose, and he's so proud he wants to keep it. Let me ask you, how many tattoos do you have? Maybe that's a personal question. Before you put that and post that on Facebook, how many tattoos you have, and again, no pictures, guess how many tattoos Pastor Paul Steinberg has. Guess. You can guess on Facebook. You can put that down. Guess how many I have. Now, if you guessed, One or more, you've guessed too many. I don't have any tattoos. Not because I'm against tattoos. I really like tattoos. I think they're kind of cool, but I'm too chicken. It's not worth the pain. I'm convinced that if I tried to do something, I would just back out. But the advice is, if you get a tattoo, make sure it's worth it, that you go through the pain and put something that you want to have as a message to you. When you get a tattoo, it's not a silent sermon from the sanctuary, but it is a silent sermon from the shower when you take a look at it and you see it. You see it over and over again. So if you get a tattoo with your kids' names on it, or your mom's name on it, or your dad when he entered heaven, that date on it, or you get a cross, you get a Bible passage on it, or something that you want spoken to you forever, it's worth it, and maybe you're willing to go through the pain. Now, Jesus never really got any tattoos, but he got the equivalent. He said, I'm willing to put up with the pain. Put those wounds on me, and that's going to be a silent message to myself and my Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit and all of you for all eternity. Even showed those to Jesus when he went to Satan, when he descended into hell. See how much I love my people? That's a silent sermon that will stand forever. Now, maybe after you've reflected on how amazing and great the wounds on this Jesus statue are, you maybe are sad for us pastors. We often look the other way. We don't see it. But when I was getting ready for this message, I noticed that there is a very similar picture that us pastors get to see all the time. It's in the back. Another picture of the resurrected Jesus as he's commissioning his disciples and giving them comfort. And it's you see, it's kind of a similar way where his right hand is up and his left hand is down. And I think the wounds in this picture are even more starting. That entire picture is fantastic, but you see the wounds. That's a realistic look there. On his hands. He's portrayed as he's giving his message to his disciples, and that's in the opposite way. So it's not like Jesus is giving a high five to himself. But the way I like to think of it is Jesus has got his arms open, commissioning us, telling us to be his witnesses, and that I've been wounded for you, and whatever wounds you're going through now aren't going to last forever because I did this for you. It's like he's going to give himself a big hug with us all in the middle. But he's kind of frozen there. It's a wait message. Wait. I was wounded for you, and for now you have to live with the wounds of this life. You have to live with the stresses and the struggles. But eventually, I'm going to get you, and I'm going to take all your wounds away. And then we get hugged and welcomed into heaven by our Savior with those wounds. We're going to rejoice in those wounds one more time because we know he was wounded for us. Every time you see that Jesus, every time you come into this sanctuary, take a look at that and see that risen and ascending Lord, and notice his wounds. And then look at how you are and rejoice that one day you'll be perfect because he will stay looking like that. This is our comfort. This is our message. This is our silent sermon from the sanctuary.